you know, I love my moms, and they watch and listen to everything I do. And when I got the role of the L Word, I moved out here before that. There's a scene in episode 3 where Micah has a hookup. Too much for my parents. I knew it was coming. I went home. I went back to my room and I closed the door because I could not. I couldn't sit there. I couldn't even be in the hallway. Then I'm like, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for the response. And I hear my mom going, no.
Oh.
No, Leo. No. Leo, no. What are you doing? What is happening? What are you doing?
I am going on tour. I'm going on tour through Texas. I'm hitting Austin, Dallas, and San Antonio at the end of June. AshleyGavin.com. Go check it out. Okay, and now a little audio note about this episode. There's a Jen reference in here. This was recorded way before last week. So if you haven't listened to last week's yet, I don't want to spoil it. Go listen to last week's. It's important. Also, in the middle of the episode, our audio cut out, so there's 1 minute of backup audio, and then it resumes about halfway through. And that's why Patreon donations are really, really important. Usually, we're filming this on 4 cameras, so then I'm also monitoring the regular audio and the backup audio and making sure that the guest is doing all the things that they have to do. That's several people's jobs, but right now it's mine. So if you want higher quality and less mistakes so that we can hire someone and pay them fairly, patreon.com/WHGS. Right now our personnel, like our staff costs, are approaching $2,000 a month. So it's really helpful. If everyone who listened donated $1, we could pay everyone fairly and have a lot more time to make a lot more content because we'd have a full team. So consider that. And there's 45 minutes of bonus audio on this episode, so it is worth it. That's one of the things you get. Patreon.com/WHGS. Hilarious episode. I hope you enjoy it. Listener, this episode is brought to you by Helix, my absolute favorite mattress. I am getting the best sleep of my life on a Helix. And you can too if you go over and take their little quiz. Their 2-minute quiz is going to match you with the perfect mattress for you, and you'll be sleeping like a baby in no time. And right now, Helix is offering 25% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/gaysex and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. And if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to tell. I don't know what story to tell. We have questions. We will get it. Whether you want that or not.
That was a joke. You don't have to tell us anything.
I mean, in theory, theoretically, he does have to tell us something.
Sure, yeah. But hey, you can lie. So.
You can exit the podcast anytime you want.
I gotcha. Oh, God. Could you imagine? Just like, boop.
Adam Driver did that on Fresh Air.
I thought you were doing a bit like Driver left our podcast.
Yeah, Adam Driver was on our podcast and he left it. No, he did it with Terry Gross and he fully just left. And she was like, what is going on? And he left because she played a track of him acting and he can't listen to himself act. So.
Oh, I feel like I've heard this. It was like during the press for Marriage Story or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And she was like, we're just going to play a thing. You can take off your headphones and not listen to it because I know that they said that. Well, I'm really breaking the news
on
that
Adam Driver said
he won't listen to himself act, and the fact that they played it. He walked out of the, and the thing is they did it over Zoom. So it was just like still going on the Zoom and Adam just
he could
like,
have just took his headphones
and he just left the meeting.
Yeah. So Leo, you could pull an Adam if you wanted to.
You know, when you see interviews and it's like, we didn't agree to talk about this. And I'm like, this is so awkward. What is happening?
You mean like when you're interviewed or like when other people are interviewed? Do you think it's
no,
awkward?
like famous people, like actually famous people, I mean,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Or that one that we just resurfaced, like rightfully so, of like David Letterman and Lindsay Lohan, which is really uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. Okay,
like,
pause.
So I keep talking about
I have a couple thoughts. Adam Driver doesn't want to hear himself, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Doesn't this seem like, look, as a comedian, I have been listening to my tapes since day one at my stupid first little open mic. I feel that Adam Driver's fear of listening to himself on tape or watching himself on tape has been coddled.
Yeah.
Coddled.
Oh. Oh,
and I think,
shoot.
Frankly, if he were not famous, he would get over it.
That goes for all white men. I'm sorry. Like, I'm sure he's super talented. I know he's super talented, but I think that goes for, like, all white men in general.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, as a trans person listening back when I edit my podcast, I get, like, dysphoric sometimes about, like, my voice or, like, when I'm watching myself back, I get a little bit dysphoric. But with Adam Driver, I'm like, I don't think there's really an excuse.
And I agree, definitely, about, like, hearing your voice, too, like, as, like, a trans person in playback. There's always, like, a moment where you're like, wow, my voice does that thing? Huh.
Yeah.
We made it through half of the second season, and I turn to my co-star, and I'm like, does my voice change when I am Micah? And she was like, yeah. I was like, have you noticed that the entire season? And she's like, yeah.
What?
I don't know how to describe it. It, like, softens. And it sounds not lower, but it's something about it just quieter. But I think, like, specifically too, you mentioned, like, the differences in, like, gendered speaking. I think after, like, coming out as queer, I let go of what I thought was masculine, like, intonation and, like, types of speech. And I, like, let myself, like, emote differently in my voice. I let it, like, get a little higher. I let it, like, just play around with whatever, like, and it's, like, this ridiculous thing to me that we've, like, gendered voices and speaking so much. It's ridiculous, and I'm really glad I've kind of let myself let go of that.
Well, this has been a very thoughtful opening.
It really
to
has.
We're having gay sex, no, and we haven't introduced anybody.
Truly.
And it's right. The pronunciation of your last name is Sheng.
Good question. I think folks who are native Mandarin or Cantonese speakers, yes, would say Sheng. I
speak a little Mandarin, Leo.
Do you?
Do not speak to me. Do not speak to me. Do not speak to me. Do not. But I was
I'm kind of a big deal.
I don't know any. So for me, I say Sheng. It's pronounced Sheng as in Li Sheng from the Disney Mulan. That's where I kind of first thought of that being my middle name, and it's spelled differently, but it's pronounced the same.
Oh, whoa.
Wait, who is Li Sheng in Mulan?
In the original Disney, which I know, like, I'm going to get roasted by more of my community.
No, I think that Mulan... The fact that Mulan has not come up on the podcast is
actually
crazy.
True. Yeah, Mulan has never come up on the podcast. Because
it's like legit gay. But
it's gay, it's trans, it's everything.
It's huge.
I didn't know this growing up. I didn't grow up in a Chinese family. I didn't grow up kind of as knowledgeable around Chinese stories and, like, kind of have that, like, lineage to draw on. And so, like, as a kid, I'm watching it, and it's, like, the only way that, like, kids in my class kind of can relate to the fact that I dress more masculine. So, like, for me, that was held a different significance than me being like, oh, this is the story that, like, represents my culture. I got older and realized it was not as historically accurate. But you know,
for sure.
Print on my life and my journey. And I was 12 or 13 when I was, like, trying to find a name that fit for my middle name, and Sheng, was it?
Oh, that's awesome. We took another heartfelt diversion.
I'm loving this. This is incredible.
But we're so happy to have you. You're an actor. You're on the reboot of The L Word. I mean, just a phenomenal guest.
Yes.
Leo Sheng.
Yes. Wait. Yeah. I got to hit the thing. That's a live studio audience, Leo. That's huge.
We're so excited to have you. Usually we do banter up front, Leo, but you've already
aced it. Yeah.
You aced it, and
we tested you, and you got an A+ on banter.
The audience at home is not only crying, but they're like, they're already, like, it's very emotional.
Yeah,
it's
they're
very
also
heartfelt.
Googling Mulan right now. They're like, what wasn't true about Mulan? You're saying that the whole story wasn't true? It's like, yeah, weirdly enough, Disney does do that with most movies.
I love Mulan. I love Mulan as a gay woman, as a feminist, until the fucking end.
Yeah.
When it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, can't she be the more mask in the relationship?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I wanted. I really wanted her to be gay at the end of the day.
But I mean, like, that was like, what, the 90s that came out? And like,
it was pretty cool for the time.
Oh, absolutely.
But anyway, let's get into it.
Yeah, let's introduce ourselves.
I am Ashley. Oh, we do these intros, Leo. You're going to be fine. I'm Ashley Gavin. I am a cis, gay, white woman. She, her pronouns. My Mandarin is not good. I mentioned my Mandarin. I don't want anyone coming at me for my Mandarin. It's very bad. I haven't spoken Mandarin in a decade.
Can I just say, though, Ashley's never gotten a guest last name right. It is actually statistically, Ashley has gotten just about every single guest last name wrong.
Oh, I'm honored.
No, it was truly, I can't believe this is like, you actually got this right.
Look, I'm about to, this is real risk of cancellation, what I'm about to say, okay?
My job on the podcast is to, introduce me first and then we'll decide.
And then, as always,
sayable.
My youth in the sound booth keeps me from getting canceled.
Well, maybe we'll see in
we'll
about two
see.
Minutes.
We got a camo.
Yeah.
A camo baby
Rocking
over
the
here.
Real tree.
Can I even, what? I hear a baby, but I can't see one.
That was funny.
What is that? Is that a goo goo gaga? Is that a whimper
is that
out
a goo
there?
Goo gaga.
It's Gara Lawning.
Yeah, I'm a small child lost in the woods. Hello, I'm Gara. My pronouns are
they,
them.
You got that at Cabela's?
Them. I actually do think it's Cabela's. It's a real tree t-shirt. This is like trans mask. Like, this is the trans mask flag.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the real tree. Like,
oh,
we
yeah.
reclaimed real tree. It's actually gorgeous that we reclaimed it. This is what I want my wedding dress to be made
out of. I have two things that I have to get to once we're done with it.
Anyway, they, them, trans masculine, non-binary, I'm pansexual, and I'm white. And that's it.
And Leo, do you mind introducing yourself?
Okay. My name is Leo Shang, but probably should be pronounced Shang. I am a queer.
I just want to clarify that as a white woman, I did not tell Leo how to pronounce his last name.
Oh my God. The listener's
no,
like,
this is true.
How
this is
am
true.
I supposed
and
to feel right now?
When people ask me how to pronounce it, I give them the same explanation. For folks who might speak Mandarin or Cantonese, it will be likely seen as Shang. For me, as someone who speaks neither, it is Shang. I am a queer trans man. I use he, him pronouns. I'm an actor sometimes. And I'm out here in LA kind of bopping around. And I am not white. I am Chinese American. And I'm really excited to be here. This has been so fun already. It's only been a few minutes and I'm so
oh, good.
Great. Yeah.
That makes me so happy.
We're bummed.
So the two things I want to address.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Well, the thing is.
Let's go in. Remember, you can Adam Driver this interview.
You can
Leo.
Get up and walk away at any time. Yeah. But it's weird how with names that are not Anglo names, we just decide how those names are pronounced.
Uh-huh.
And when those people get famous, they just have to fucking, I mean, Hasan Minhaj has been mispronounced as Hassan, and he only recently clarified that on Ellen.
Right.
And it's just so weird to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow.
That's my thoughts as a white person speaking on something that isn't really mine.
I feel like I have a very like different experience as like a Chinese American because I'm adopted. And so like my name growing up, my given name was a very like Americanized, beautiful name. And like, you know, it was a beautiful name, it just wasn't for me. And so like, I don't have that experience of having my name either mispronounced so much that I just kind of go with it and have to suck it up and deal with it and just let people say it, or having to correct people. And for that, that's something that I'm grateful I haven't had to experience, but I'm also like aware of how much that kind of shapes the way we look at, like you said, like non-Anglo names. I always think of like Uzo Aduba, how her mom's like, if people can say like Tchaikovsky and whoever the other person was, like they can say your name.
Yeah. What do you think, Gara? Am I canceled?
I do not think you are canceled. I really, in this situation, do not think I am the person.
I was trying to get you.
Yeah, you were trying to get
Leo, what do you think? Do you think I'm canceled?
Well, I also don't know if I'm the person to say, given that I didn't have these experiences, and I didn't, you know, obviously I don't speak for the entire Asian community.
What do you mean?
I think, you know, everyone's messaging me saying, please bring this point up. I think it's an important point, and I think like accountability is real too. So
yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And there's also ways to like respect names. And like, if you got someone's name wrong and be like, oh, my name is actually this. There's actually a way to be like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Your name is this.
Totally.
Which is honestly, I don't find to be that hard, but I guess, yeah. Anyway.
Well,
Again,
we really
another
just like
thoughtful
we just
diversion.
Keep going deeper and deeper.
Yeah, I mean, this is the stuff race dynamics and gender and stuff is what I studied and facilitated before I was an actor. So I could talk about this shit all day.
Oh, really?
So you are the person to cancel me in a way.
I don't have that much power. I don't have that much. I don't know if I want it. I don't know if
it's
I
up
want
to the people. Mm-hmm. It's really up,
it
to,
is
the
up
people.
To the people.
Listener, do you think I'm canceled? Write in.
I feel like this is on a flight when someone is what do they call them? When there's an undercover air marshal. I feel like that this is this situation.
Oh my God.
Yeah. On every flight,
podcast.
On
every podcast, there's an undercover podcast marshal. Cancel Marshall.
Well, I'm so glad that you're here and you are so thoughtful already. So I know it's going to be a great episode. Mm-hmm.
Listener, spring has sprung. Love is in the air. And that means you need your Helix mattress. You don't want to bring a girl home and have her crawl into your bed and feel like shit the next day. And then she takes it out on you and never sees you again. Help your boo thang get a good night's sleep on a Helix mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/gaysex, take the 2-minute mattress quiz, and you'll find out which mattress is best for you. And it's no stress. You get 100 nights to try it, and there's a 10 to 15 year warranty. So don't sweat this decision. But I know you're going to love it because you don't have to take my word for it. Helix has been awarded the #1 mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/gaysex and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
The story that oh my God,
what?
Maybe I'll tell a story that I didn't know I was going to tell.
Oh, really? I love that. Organic.
Yeah. Please. There's no real ending to the story.
Okay, that's fine.
I love that.
Okay, yeah.
Just
I'll
do
talk
it.
About
do
it.
It.
I'm going to talk
go.
About my study abroad.
What? Where's my air horn? Yeah, hell yeah. Talking about study
now
abroad.
Listen.
Wait, I have to say, I love study abroad kids. I didn't go to college, so I think study abroad kids, when you're sitting down with someone and they're like, you know, when we went to Italy, we ate cheese like this all the time. And I'm like, please go on, Denise.
Well, you know an aspect of my personality that I rarely acknowledge on this podcast, which is I don't talk about the things that I've done as a basic white woman.
Sure, yeah.
I don't super like talking about that.
You do have huge study abroad energy.
What the fuck is your problem?
Huge I studied abroad energy.
Leo, do I have studied abroad energy? I know I brought up that I speak Mandarin very early in the conversation.
I feel like if you had brought it up hi, in the intro, when we open the camera, maybe. But
if you brought it up, hi, I'm Ashley Gavin. My pronouns are she, her, and I studied abroad in college.
You saved it for a little while into.
You want to know something cool about Mandarin, though? Yeah. The pronouns in verbal form.
Oh, no way.
Are the same.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I said no way before I even knew it. I feel whenever people are just pronouns, gender, I'm like,
you're like, that's
oh
awesome.
My God, that's so cool. I love talking about pronouns.
In written form. They're gendered.
Okay.
But in spoken form, they're not gendered.
Did not know that.
Anyway.
Yeah, tell us about
every day.
So,
yeah, truly.
God, this is the most obnoxious I've ever been. And I hate it. It's weird because I don't like pretension. I hate pretension. But there are a lot of parts of my life that I could come off as very pretentious. And I'm about to talk about one of them.
Yeah, great.
And I feel vulnerable.
We'll do a pretentious meter.
Okay.
If it like.
All right, we can hold space for that.
Yeah,
let's
we can't. We can hold space for that. We can hold space for that. I love Leo.
So I studied abroad. I went to Hong Kong.
Okay, yeah.
It was awesome. Mm-hmm. I saved up a bunch of money. I worked as a camp counselor.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I took all that
also
money.
Also, another thing, you have huge camp counselor energy.
That I will.
Big camp
that
camp
I will
counselor.
Take.
Yeah. Huge camp counselor that, if I were a,
a camper of yours, you're going to hate this. But if I were a camper of yours, I'd be like, I think I'm gay. Be like, I'm
flattered.
Gay. Oh, yeah.
I saved up this money so that when I studied abroad, I could travel. And one of the places that I went was I met my girlfriend in Australia because that's where she was studying abroad.
Whoa.
So the month after my study abroad was over, I lived in her dorm for a month in Australia. I spent every dollar that I earned over many summers of working so that I could go on this trip. And we went scuba diving.
Uh-huh.
In the reef, the Great Barrier Reef.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is why this story is fucking obnoxious and pretentious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It.
Like,
did you find Nemo while you were there?
I actually have no joke for this.
That was the
42
was
Wallaby up. Way.
That was good. I like that. A lot of Disney references right now.
I love Disney.
But the thing was that the scuba instructor, this Australian guy, like when we went in, they were like, oh, is anyone dating? Like they were just getting to know everybody as they were teaching us how to scuba dive.
Sure. Yeah.
And
as you
and
do.
And me and my you get to name the people in our story. This is my ex-girlfriend from college, who I went on study abroad with, and she studied abroad in Sydney, Australia. Give her a name.
Oh my God, Becky.
Yeah, Becky. Becky's good. Yeah. Becky's good.
So
her name is Rebecca, but when she went to college, she was like,
"I'm Becky now."
I love that.
So the instructor was like, "Anyone here dating?" And we were like, "We're dating." And the instructor was like, "What?" We were like, we're dating.
Oh,
Australia?
Yeah. No, super homophobic.
Pretty homophobic country.
No, really homophobic.
Damn.
Yeah, parts
we
of Australia.
We have a lot of Australian listeners. Hell yeah for listening and like, you know, doing, living there. But I've heard so many homophobic things about Australia.
Yeah.
Well, it's so interesting because I'm thinking about Wentworth being like one of the like super gay show, like, and like how that must be received among Australian viewers.
I don't know what.
Is it Australian? I haven't seen Wentworth.
It's like a grittier Orange Is the New Black.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
And they have a bisexual bachelorette in Australia right now, and they're going to be doing.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting.
So a lot has changed.
Yeah. Also in Nanette.
This was many years ago.
Yeah, Nanette, she talks about a lot. That's like her whole set is about how homophobic, especially toward gay women.
Well, it was a very trying time for me on study abroad. I had to live in the very homophobic country of Australia. Me and my
Sydney
girlfriend, two white women in so much pain. No, but he was
Why
like,
does it sound like you're doing like poetry right now?
White women in so much pain.
Scuba diving for each other's hearts.
Oh my God.
Coral reef glistening.
Wow, that's good. Oh,
my tear rolls down my cheek.
Clit throbbing.
How have we not done slam poetry?
I know, we should.
Please.
I am underwater, my only lifeline, the oxygen, but you are the oxygen that I breathe.
Wait, that was good. What the hell?
This is perfect. This is like this next set, next time you guys get to do a live show.
Yeah.
We should do improv.
Yeah, we
gay
should
poetry.
Improv gay poetry. Yeah.
Okay.
That's perfect.
Please.
Okay. So, God, and the meta level of this, a white woman doing slam poetry. There's a lot happening here. Okay.
There is.
But this guy was super rude and flirted with her this whole experience.
Ew.
And we were with him for a few days.
Oh, because it's a package.
We were on a boat. We lived on the boat.
That's why I don't fuck with boats.
Yeah, that right. Yeah, I agree.
I can't believe that I brought boats into this also. Fuck me. Okay.
I do. I can't. You're like, we had an espresso machine on the boat. Just really good. Woke up in the morning to just like fresh pancakes and like, but the scuba instructor was like really homophobic.
Wait, can I ask you a question, Leo?
Sure.
Have you like traveled with like a significant other?
Ooh. Okay. Well, yes, I have. So I actually only got my passport about 2 years ago because I really did not want to go through the process of acquiring all the fucking documents that a trans person or like just not cis person has to acquire
yeah.
to do this. And it's a long process and it's not cheap. But the main thing I remember is we drove from Michigan to like South Carolina. We took turns and I made this awful playlist on Spotify called Trippin' on the Road. that was just like 90s and early 2000s hits.
Yeah.
And this is like the main, you know, the rest of the trip was fine, but this always stands in my mind, especially lately, as like an Asian American person. The person I was with was white. We stop in this tiny ass little town and we went into this antique store because she loved like vintage kind of kitschy things. And I'm like, okay, sure. We walk in and not only is it Confederate flags, that is one thing. It was Nazi flags everywhere.
What?
Like little Nazi like figurines what? And like, you know, etched and into different items. And we're walking through and I just remember being like kind of looking at her like, can we get out of here? And yeah. I don't think she could really read that. I think she knew. I think she was aware it was a lot. I wasn't going to be like, I'm just going to wait outside because that feels even less safe to be by myself outside. That was like a really, we were like pretty late in our relationship, almost 2 years. And I remember being like, this is a really important moment that I'm not going to forget. And then we left and like literally across the street, like kitty corner is this super cute bookstore, pretty liberal, like, you know, like non-gendered bathrooms. And I'm like, where the fuck are we?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's
there's
crazy.
There's so much happening. And, I think that was actually the last trip we took before we broke up, but
wow, honestly, I cannot imagine anyone walking into a store like that and not immediately being like, best case, you walk out, period. But the only reason that I would ever stay in a store like that, I am Jewish on my mother's side. The only reason that I would stay in a store like that is like, cause it's so like culturally interesting to like be sure. Like, what the fuck is this? But I'm also, people don't always know that I'm Jewish because I'm only part Jewish. Uh-huh. And like, so I'm safe in there. You know what I mean? Like, I also am not visibly gay.
Sure, yeah.
So I can't imagine being with someone who I would, if we went into a place like that together, I'd be like, hey, Gara, let's leave.
Oh, I would fit
well,
right,
in the
right
camo
now,
and the mullet.
Right
with the camo
him,
and the mullet, you're fine.
I can really.
Sure.
I think no, but sure. I, such a red flag yeah. for me, Leo. Like, yeah, I.
To be fair, I am somebody who also is very aware of others' like desires and needs. So there is a chance that maybe I blocked out where I was like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah, it can also like stun you. It
right,
also
you can
it's
be
just
in shock.
Like, you're like, it's yeah. completely shocking yeah. to see that.
Nazi
I mean, like
flags,
even
Jesus.
Seeing it like when you're like in a bathroom and you're just kind of like chilling, like taking a shit and you just like look up and there's just like on like the wall and you're like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can understand.
You saw the Confederate flag in my bathroom.
Yeah.
Let me retake that joke. You saw the Nazi flag in my bathroom. That's a better one for me.
Yeah, great. Yeah.
We'll use that.
Edit that one. Yeah.
But just in case anyone thinks that's serious for 1 second, I can't, whatever. But.
Well, good thing you edit those.
Another thoughtful moment with Leo. Thoughtful moments with Leo.
Yeah, thoughtful moments with Leo.
You know, I wish I, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a comedian. And I realized
oh, really?
That just wasn't going to happen. If I ever was to try, I have like two stories. I'd have all the things that my moms have said to me over the years, which maybe are funny in the moment. I have two moms, for the record. I have two moms.
What? Really?
Who are both social workers. So my childhood was a lot of expressing of feelings. And yep. You know, I love my moms. And they watch and listen to everything I do. And when I got the role of the L Word, I moved out here before that. I was getting texts from my moms that they were watching the original because we didn't have cable. Like I didn't have cable growing up. We had like an antenna that you got four stations, you know, and it's all super blurry and like you hear it moving and it's like a fucking lawnmower.
On the boat that I was in during the scuba trip, we hardly got any self-service. So I totally understand.
Yeah, you really understand this.
we didn't have a connection to like what was happening. And that's kind of like what, you know, not having cable is a little bit like you get the news, but it's local news.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I was getting text messages, you know, I'd be on set and it's like, oh, Alice just did this or Shane just did this. And and then my mom's like, we're watching this because we're good moms. And I'm like, there's a scene in episode 3 where Micah has a hookup, you know, nothing really is shown. too much for my parents. I knew it was coming. I went home. I went back to my room and I closed the door because I couldn't sit there. I couldn't even be in the hallway.
Adam Driver understands.
Yeah.
Adam Driver would get it. Then I'm like, I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for the response. And I hear my mom going, no.
Oh.
No, Leo. No. Leo, no. What are you doing? What is happening? What are you doing? And I'm just like, la, 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 la. They didn't, they did, this was not on their bingo card for 2020.
Meanwhile, my mother fucking listens to this podcast and texted me once that I look really good naked.
Oh my God.
But let
God.
Me just wrap up so we can get over to Leo. But the guy was flirting with her.
Okay.
It's weird because Jen and I, in my relationship with my current girlfriend, we have a very easy time acknowledging that people are flirting with us and we think it's kind of cool and we like talk to each other about
it. Yeah, right.
We also, like, if we're walking down the street and we both happen to glance a bottom that we think is enjoyable.
Yeah.
We kind of respectfully glance the bottom, wait for distance, and then confer about the bottom that we both appreciate. And no one feels jealous of the other person. But in this relationship with Becky, I felt that there was a line crossed with flirting back with the other person.
Oh, she was flirting back?
I don't really know if it was appropriate or not appropriate because she always said to me, like, I'm just a flirty person. But then this guy straight up after I left messaged and was like, hey, I'm in Sydney for the weekend, like, want a bone.
To her?
Yeah. And she didn't say yes, but things like that happened all the time.
Yeah.
Which made me think the line of flirtiness had been crossed, that multiple people feel that they've been given an invitation. Yeah. Again, I'm just trying to enjoy my scuba diving trip.
Right. Yeah, you're just trying to sit by the bay and maybe get a $200 massage, okay?
Exactly.
And a manicure as well.
I don't need my girlfriend flirting
with the scuba instructor.
Wait.
Leo, what do you think about flirting in a relationship?
There's a few parts to it, right? I think one, is it like a monogamous relationship? Is it one of those things where like you are just like with each other? Great. I mean, that doesn't mean you still can't like have conversations around what it means to interact with people in a potentially flirty way.
Right.
I'm also mindful of the fact that like this guy clearly was, as a guy, this guy was clearly kind of crossing a line and like as men are wont to do. And I can see, I mean, I don't know this, I don't know your ex-girlfriend. So I don't know, was it like a self-preservation, like not wanting to like refuse and like then
to me, it felt like she, no, it didn't feel that way at all.
Okay.
It felt like she enjoyed it. And I think she liked that I was jealous.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, she got his number.
Okay, no, that's not something, that's not healthy.
It was Facebook.
Oh, it was Facebook.
But she also accepted the friend request.
Yeah, so.
And back then, that was a big deal.
Big deal, huge deal.
Yeah, I think it just boils down to communication about like, what do you feel comfortable with? And like, can you say, I don't feel comfortable when this happens? Like, if this is something you want to do, can we talk about it in a way that like makes us both feel safe and secure in this relationship and like like where does the autonomy, like how is that maintained, but also like understanding it, particularly if you're in a monogamous relationship.
I whenever someone's like getting flirty with me, I make it very clear that they don't have a chance. Like I will like hang out with you.
I'll
do the flirty banter. But if you feel like you have a shot,
and you know, sometimes they end up doing a podcast with you for a full year and you're still kind of sitting here like, okay, right. Yeah.
Sitting by your side. Do you even know that I am there?
You're killing it today. That was good.
But like, and I think that's what I want from Jen.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone feeling like there's a question about what's going to happen. I think if both parties know it will not get physical or emotional, then the flirting is fine.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I absolutely agree.
But that's my... Anyway, that's my
yeah, that's your just little my, gay abroad.
That's my sex. Study abroad. I have a blog.
Yeah, you're
you guys
want to
go read my study abroad?
Yeah, you're
blog.
Like, I love my host family. They're so great. We went to the beach today.
That's so funny. My roommate, two of my roommates studied abroad, and one of them, I'm just thinking, has a blog from that time.
It's very common.
I think it's like a WordPress.
That's where it is.
Yeah.
Leo, did you have gay sex this week?
Unfortunately, no. I live with a couple who have a baby. And so like our kind of ground rules are slightly different than people
for
who probably
sure.
don't have We went out to eat for the first time as a house outside, and it was magical.
Oh, no way.
And so, like, this possibility of, like, being able to maybe meet somebody either in person or maybe still on these godforsaken apps. I feel like I'm really hopeful for more potential for meet cutes. I've been out as queer for a couple of years, but I haven't really had the time or opportunity, especially before the pandemic, to, like, be with people who aren't cis women. And so potential for dates and, like, meeting people and just getting to experience and, like, feel more of, like, what I'm interested in and, like, what I want to pursue was really exciting to me.
Yeah, that was the most thoughtful, diplomatic way to say that you want to fuck.
Yeah.
And if you are not cis and listening to this right now, Leo wants to bone.
Yeah, but a meet cute.
A meet. So no, it's super cute. It's fun. It's flirty. Yeah, it's summer.
Yeah, it is fun and flirty in summer. Yeah, so catch him on a walk outside. Just, like, catch eyes.
If you see Leo, you have to drop something on the ground.
Right. Yeah.
Immediately. Yeah. You have to bump into him and spill coffee all over him.
Yeah, and you're like, oops, sorry. And Leo's like, oh, hey, it's okay. And then you got...
For people who can't see this, my face is so pink right now.
So what's your ideal meet cute, Leo?
Yeah, what is your ideal meet cute?
You can steal from a rom-com or a Disney movie.
I love meet cutes that are, like, in a coffee shop or, like, you know, as an adult, as, like, an adult out of college adult, kind of, like, I haven't, and maybe it's because I'm still kind of, like, my friend's age group is still kind of on the younger side to be getting married, but, and the pandemic, like, I haven't really been invited to a wedding and, like, had, like, a chance to, like, meet somebody at the reception kind of thing.
Uh-huh. You know, that was kind of, that's, like, the really best cliche.
Do you want a bone at a gay wedding?
Yeah.
A queer wedding.
Yeah.
Listener, write in.
Yeah.
What color is the what are the bridesmaids' dresses looking? The bride's exes, the bride mixes. What color dresses and suits are the bride mixes wearing at this queer wedding? Yeah, wow, I saved it.
Yeah, you did save it. But bride is gendered, so that's also the problem.
Well, maybe she is a bride. And maybe the mixes are not
brides. Yeah.
Always a bride's mix and never a bricks.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Love that.
What's
so
your, I'm curious if you have, like, a meet cute story.
Do I have a meet cute story? So this is with the same person we went on this trip with. And I think, like, when you're in the relationship, it feels cuter than, like, when you're not. You look back like, oh, that's just how people meet, you know?
Right. You're like, how can you believe serendipitous? And it's like, you guys were just at the bar at the same time.
Right. People are like, it's so crazy.
Kind of. I switched my major in the last year of college to sociology with the intention of, like, being like, all right, sociology, social work. I was in a intro to stats class, which, first of all, stats is awful. Unless you love that kind of thing, then more power to you. But and I
there's a what are the odds joke here, but continue. I'm so sorry.
Love it so much. And I switched maybe a week in, you know, when college classes start, you get, like, a week to drop a class and switch classes, whatever. And so I was a week late and I saw somebody that, like, I was like, oh, I think I met this person last year because we both studied Spanish. And I think we had, like, a class together or, like, a day where we were just in the same room together. I started to sit with her during class. She was kind of actually semi-tutoring me because, again, I am awful with stats. And then we also had another class together. And we'd kind of get there early in the hallway and just wait together for the class to open up.
But tutoring is hot. Like,
no, tutoring,
like, the fact that she's tutoring you is hot.
Well, and I wasn't, like, looking to date. I wasn't looking for really anything. And I'm also, just as a person, not always on the quick on the uptake for who's flirting. What's flirting look like? Am I flirting? And so we just, like, it was just kind of, like, really kind of intertwined with, like, our studies. And then at some point we just started hanging out, hanging out turned into, like, dating. And, but, you know, it was kind of an organic, like, sort of like a college story, you know?
Yeah. Who broke the barrier between tutor and student?
Honestly, I think it was pretty mutual. I think, like, we both were kind of realizing we're hanging out a lot. Like, we had two classes together. We'd see each other several times a week. And, like, were starting to like get to class early just to sit with each other and wait.
So I think we were kind of. Oh, that's very cute.
Yeah, that is really cute.
Yeah. As I'm retelling it and remembering it, I think it's cute. I think, like, as an objective person, if I try to be objective, it was cute. But it's hard to stay objective for too long when you kind of remember towards the end when it
started. Oh, for sure. Especially when we have Nazi flags waiting for us at the end of this. It's a very strange rom-com.
Yeah, it is a very strange rom-com.
This is going way back to the beginning of the episode, but you said something
I wanted to circle back to because it is like a, I think it's a trans issue that a lot of cis people don't know about. Mm-hmm. And because you brought it up before, I wanted to circle back to it. I know it's not super organic in the conversation, but you were talking about your passport and how difficult it was to go through all of that. Do you mind talking about that a little bit? Because I don't think people realize with these types of government forms how hard it is to deal with that as a trans person.
As I go into it, I want to preface it with like acknowledging the privilege I have and even having access to like getting my name changed and like the, especially with a financial access, because again, it's like not super cheap and it's a whole process. And so the fact that I've been able to do it is something I'm super aware of and grateful for. And as somebody who is often perceived as cis, I think my experience might have, that's also impacted my experience. I had to, so I legally changed my name when I was 13 or 14. And that's one document that you need is a legal name change, especially if your birth certificate hasn't been changed. Also, okay, like every state is different. Every state requirement is different. I'm not entirely sure what it's like through every state. For me, my process was I got my name changed when I was 14. I then took those name change papers to get my birth certificate changed, which as someone who's also adopted is a different layer because I have a Chinese birth certificate from China in Mandarin. And then that was then used for a birth certificate in the United States, which also, I also had citizenship papers. My experience is not a typical experience of getting these things together. So then I had to use my name change to change both my birth certificate. I don't remember if I changed my citizenship papers, which is why when you take those, you have to have your name change form. I also had to have a letter from a doctor stating that it's okay to have my the sex listed differently on my passport than on other documents because my birth certificate still says F. I was lucky when I was 16 and got my license that the person working in the Secretary of State booth, because we got there right as they were closing, just put M on my license without any question.
Whoa.
Yep. Which, and I was so scared for several years because I'd heard like other people who that happened and like their license was revoked so they could be changed to what was supposed to be on it.
Oh, shit.
So by the time I got my passport, I had my birth certificate, my name change papers, my citizenship papers, the letter from my doctor, and then I chose to get it expedited because I wanted it to come before I moved to California in case I needed it, in case like on some chance I got a job that shot on location,
right?
You know, not knowing about the industry.
And so that affects your job right there. Because it is like something people, a lot of people don't know this, but there, you know what? You do know this. For a lot of jobs, you need to be able to drive. You need to be able to travel. So like having to go through these extra hoops, like it's not just about like, you know, how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. This like really affects your day to day life.
Yep.
I mean, this literally like gave me heartburn. This whole process sounded so insane.
I know.
You're basically just like praying that your parents can just keep track of. I mean, that's just part of it.
Sure.
It's like having the physical documents.
Yeah, yeah.
For one.
For sure.
Which is like, you know, some of them you just like can't fucking find.
Yeah, I know. Who hasn't been panicked because they're like, where the fuck is my birth certificate?
Oh, straight
You call
up.
Your mom and your mom's like, I don't fucking know where your birth certificate is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man.
And the only reason I had to have citizenship papers, and it probably would have been the same, is because our house in Michigan had flooding problems. And when I was a baby, my green card got destroyed in the flood. So I had to have physical papers, which I got when I was 11 or 12.
Water kept splashing up on the boat when we were scuba diving. So I really understand.
You can relate. You understand.
Yeah, I totally can relate. Yeah.
So I got my citizenship papers when I was 11 or 12 and got an awful welcome to the U.S. letter from George Bush, which was ugh.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Was it actually awful?
If I had waited like a few months, I would have probably been from Obama. And I'm really sad.
Okay. I just wanted to determine whether or not George Bush was actually like, fuck you.
No, he wasn't like. It was a general just welcome to these great United States. And I was okay, I've been here my entire life, but all right. It was a headache, and I'm so glad that I currently don't have to deal with that. And I did get to use my passport last year for a job that I can't really talk about, but I got to leave the country.
Oh, yeah, Leo's booked.
That's the best.
Leo's booked, busy and booked.
The first Hell time. Yeah. I got to leave the country for the first time that wasn't like driving to Toronto, which is like a 5-hour drive from where I was.
Whoa.
Which is great. Toronto was great, but I didn't have a passport for that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing all of that. I know we have a lot of cis listeners, and it's just like a little bit of a glimpse into the daily life.
But I mean, like, also trans listeners who, I mean, like, even me, like, I had no idea that it was like this, truly this difficult.
It's
like
it
is such a difficult process. You kind of hear stories like this over and over and over again, and people be like, and then I lost it, like my parents lost it when I was younger, and so I had to go get this, and then I had to go,
and you do have
this.
To pay for replacements. That's also something that's part of the financial privilege and access. You have to pay for replacements for court documents and for social, and stuff.
You also have to deal with like going to these places and like doing a very like uncomfortable thing. I mean, just like being trans and going to like the doctor, going to the DMV, going anywhere, it's just like totally alienating and just like makes you feel like you're not a fucking person. It sucks.
There are so many times day to day where we use our IDs that you don't even think about it. And that's, one of the reasons why it's important that this be something that people can do easily and for not that much money.
Yeah, because like even like going to a bar.
The postal worker that helped me with my passport, she's super sweet and like super well-meaning. It's one of those like good intentions. Mm-hmm. I brought all these documents and she's like reading them. She goes, oh, okay. I had no idea. Like, could have fooled me. And like, she means it in a really nice way. And I'm from this like small town where it's not meant to be judgmental. She just really meant it. You know, it's one of those things like, I never would have been able to tell. And so like when I said before, like my cis perceived privilege does play a role into it. It's just like, it's easy. It's less questioning, but in more like you get more of the, oh, I never would have known. Oh, I, you know, as you go and ask these documents for this reason, they're like, oh.
I think on the like, if anyone's trying to relate to this at all, it reminds me a little bit of when I'm walking down the street with my very femme girlfriend and maybe I'm looking a little femme and you have the positive, what I call the positive gay cat call. Oh. Where people are just like, now that's something.
Oh, God.
It's just wow, you guys, I wouldn't have even known you were gay if you were separate.
Sure. Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
And it's just like, I get that it's positive, but also can we like walk to the pier?
Mind our own business.
You're just trying to live your life. Well, thank you, Leo. That was a lot. And thank you for taking the time to explain it. It's very appreciated. Thoughtful moments with Leo,
yeah.
And information. Mm-hmm. Do you have time that we can go to Gara?
Sure.
Did you have gay sex this week?
Okay, no, I did not have gay sex this week. But the story I'm going to tell, I think, is pretty fitting for this interview with you, Leo, because I have acted some in my life. And some would say, have been an actor at points, so I get it. Like, I had to jet to some country as well for a role that I can't disclose either, so I feel you. But anyway, my story is about the first time I had a queer kiss on stage, which is like, stage kisses are like
they're a little weird.
They are weird. I would say that they are weird. They are weird, but like as someone who like grew up in like community theater and like it was like your only chances to be able to kiss someone like multiple times, and you kind of like do cute things. Like I would like put on like different like flavored chapstick. And,
I
like,
always thought I've only ever done one on camera kiss. Whenever I was in like any kind of theater productions, people usually didn't do the kissing in rehearsal until very late. Like,
Right. We didn't. That's usually how it goes. It's like you don't kiss in rehearsal until like. But anyway,
Iowa Community Theater is a
but
world renowned theatrical institution.
Very seriously. But I think honestly, my thing is like growing up, I was just a little hornball. Like that was my
hornball.
I was a hornball. Like I discovered my sexuality when I was like 10 years old and discovered porn then as well. So I just wanted to kiss always. Like I was literally like Tina Belcher
from Bob's Burgers. Just being like, God, it's just, everyone is gorgeous. I can't even believe this. So I was kind of like, anytime I get a role, I'd be like, great, is there a kiss in it? Like, do we have to kiss? I don't care. Like, I will kiss if we need to.
You're the tree. You're tree number four. No, and you're like, is there a kiss?
No, straight up. It was kisses and it was also haircuts because I was unknowingly trans masculine and would be like, oh, do you need someone to cut their hair? I'll cut my hair. If you need someone else. I was really pining for Annie just so I could cut my hair. Aww. Yeah, and be able to go home to my mom and be like, yeah, sorry, you know, Mr. Thompson says I have to cut my hair. So unfortunately, I do have to cut my hair. But anyway, I did a play, like a really small play in New York City and played a queer girl. And I had to kiss this one girl and we like knew like the whole time that we would have to kiss. And no matter how prepared you are for it, it is uncomfortable. Leo, you could probably...
I've never kissed anybody on screen. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, never. But like, do you feel that way? That like it
yes
is...
and no. I'm still learning what is appropriate for the scene. We have intimacy coordinators, so we really talk it out. Like, do we use tongue? Do we not? Do you want
I identify as an intimacy coordinator. As the host of this podcast, I am an intimacy coordinator.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So yours is a little bit higher production.
Right. Whereas this queer performance literally took place in someone's bathroom with folding chairs in it.
Yeah. Anyway. So I knew that I had to kiss this girl. Gorgeous. She was like gorgeous. And I do have like some confidence issues regarding girls I find very, 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 very pretty. Especially girls, I think, because like I don't know. I don't know if it's a gender thing or if
Jen has spoken to me about this. She's like, flirting with men is fucking easy.
Mm-hmm.
And flirting with women is very intimidating. That's what she says.
I do also find it a little bit intimidating. I do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're shaking your head, Leo. And I'm like, how do you feel
about
this?
Yeah, I'm a little shocked that you don't agree.
Well, maybe it's because I'm also kind of relatively new to like the guy scene. But I find men terrifying in general. And so if the idea of flirting with them is like, how?
But you're talking about gay, like gay men or queer men who are super intimidating to me.
That's what it is. Cis straight
men are simple beings.
I would have to agree. Even when I'm flirting with gay men, I also feel really insecure. I mean, that's also just like with me, like a...
For me, flirting with gay men is I just better put on a fucking good performance. I want a review at the end on how funny I was. That's how I feel.
But it, especially with girls, I find it to be very, very, very intimidating.
Yeah.
And this girl was absolutely gorgeous. She was so pretty. And I just knew that we would have to kiss. And I, the whole time, was just like... You know, she was like taller than me and like she was like a model. Like she was like a model on. I know I was kind of like, OK, this is huge for me.
She was a model on America's Next Top.
Yeah. America's Next Queer Bottom. Modeling. Me. I also. OK, good. I will say in this play. Yeah, I had to like be toppy and I'm not toppy. I'm like very much like when we would do the scene without like the kissing, they would kind of always comment on like, Gara, why are you kind of like submitting immediately? And I'm like,
Gara, why are your legs spread open and bent over?
And I don't subscribe to like the top and bottom thing, but I very much am like LOL. A person who like kind of be like, yes. Yes, mommy. Like, I literally go there. Yes. So anyway, we were set to kiss. And my mom was like, my very Midwestern mother was like, I want to come to your show. Except she didn't say it like that. She was like, oh, I would love to come to your show. And I was like, okay, just so you know, I am gay in this show and I kiss a girl. And she was like, ow. Okay. And me, like my mom, my very Midwestern mother is now torn in seeing like.
Also, my very Midwestern mother is another play that the same playwright wrote. Anyway.
But anyway, so she was like, I'm going to come to your show. And I was like, okay, I'm just letting you know, I'm going to warn you, this is going to happen in the show. So it like comes to the day. It's like one of those things where like you do the show.
And then she's like, well, is there an intimacy coordinator?
Yeah, she's like, I just want to make sure you guys are taking care of. Yeah, right.
But it's for her watching staff come out with blindfolds.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
You needed an intimacy coordinator for your mother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Truly.
Mothers.
We get to the day. We kind of like, I guess, maybe had like kissed for the first time, like, the night before or something like that. And when we had kissed, I was kind of like, this girl's great. If you're listening, you're great. She's really bad. She was
bad
really
kisser.
Bad at kissing. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
do you think she was nervous?
I don't think so. She seemed, well, maybe, you know, I could misjudge. She could have some confidence.
Do you think
issues.
Your guys' kissing styles just didn't match?
I mean, that's also a thing of like, you're not like practicing kissing with this person.
Was there tongue?
No, but it was like a pretty steamy scene. Like, you know, she like took off my shirt and like we like.
How can you be a bad kisser with no tongue? I feel like tongue is where it goes wrong. How do you fuck up the lips?
Yeah.
You can bite too much.
Yeah, you could bite too much. She didn't like open her mouth enough.
She was like pecking.
Yeah, yeah. And I think like, I don't know if it was like nerves or something. Anyway, so I was like, okay. I feel a little bit better now because I feel confident in my kissing skills. But anyway, it comes to the night. We're like doing the show and my mom is like out in the audience. I can see her. Like it's like literally like there's like fucking
because
like
there's
50,
four seats.
Right. There are like literally four seats. It's like my mom, my twin, and like the director. Like that's like all who's there. And meanwhile, my mom is like not, she does not acknowledge the fact, not to bring this down. This is just the truth. She does not acknowledge the fact that I'm queer. She doesn't. She just completely blows past it.
Your
she,
sexuality in addition to your gender? Okay.
All of it. She does not. She knows. She does not acknowledge. And that's kind of like a big Midwestern thing, I think, is like
for
if
sure.
we just don't talk about it, it's not
a
thing.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, you know, she needs to post on Facebook that she went to Gara's first play in New York City. So she had to come. It was really kind of like I found it to be like the perfect storm because I was like, I'm going to get my fucking homophobic mother
the
to
perfect
watch me
storm.
Make out with
I'm
a girl.
Standing on stage. But do you even see me under these lights? Who
and that
am
was actually
I?
My monologue. At the beginning. So.
Damn. That was not bad.
That was good. Anyway, so I'm kind of like, I'm really not even nervous about it. I'm like, maybe if I make out with a girl in front of my mother, she will finally realize that I do this for a living. Sure. LOL. I do this for a living. I make out with women.
No.
For a living. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether or not what the activity is or if you're being paid for it. If you're pursuing a dream and this is a work thing for you, that's your work. That's what you do for a living.
I'm mostly just talking about
the making out. Cool. I'm just here to validate you, bro.
Thank you for validating me, man. And I feel validated. I am a performer and I make out with women and those are my two jobs. But anyway, I was like, okay, maybe her seeing me like basically like in a like long makeout scene, like it's like gets pretty steamy. I like walk out on stage. She like starts taking my shirt off, start making out. And like I can see out of the corner of my eye, like, she's in the front row. My mom does this thing where she comes to all of my things and eats trail mix through the whole thing. And you can hear the rustle of the bag. Yeah, you can hear the rustle of the bag. And she's very loud. She makes a lot of like noises with her mouth. So she'll be like, like she's constantly talking. I don't know what's wrong with her.
I hate Keely so much.
Oh my God. One time I was on a comedy show and someone came backstage and was like, guys, I absolutely railed into this woman in the front fucking row who was eating trail mix. She had her feet up on the stage.
No.
She was being so, and I went, I think that was my mom.
You think it was your mom.
She is literally the woman at like we'll go to Applebee's and if like the fucking fish is like a little bit undercooked,
Applebee's.
She's like, I'm sorry, like can we send this back? Like that's my mom. Anyway, so I'm like hearing her, the rustle of the bag. It's like all quiet because like the scene is like completely quiet. I'm like hearing her rustle, kind of be like, oh, oh. I can hear her like O's. Like she's the only one talking, just being like, oh,
oh my God.
Oh. Oh. And so I was like,
yo, your mom, I would love to get a TikTok video of me and your mom. Leo, I'm big on TikTok for hecklers, like people interacting with people in the audience like this.
Yeah, that actually would be, yeah. Ashley Gavin destroys Gara Loning's mom.
Not oh sexually. Yeah.
Anyway, so the
that
show
needs
gets
to be
done.
A series.
Yeah, it does.
Part one, part two, part 45.
I agree. The show gets done. I like come out. You're like meeting everyone. Everyone's like saying good job. And my mom's there. And she's like, she's acting pretty unfazed. She's doing the Midwestern mom thing of like, if we don't address it. And I do the I'm your trans, like queer kid thing. And right. I say, yeah. So how did you like that kiss? And she goes, I don't think. And while she's saying that, one of the people who actually plays another person that I like hook up with in the show comes up to me, grabs my ass and goes, hey, mom. And like literally is like standing there with me while my mom is like absolutely like
they said, hey, mom, to your mom,
to my mom. Yeah.
Grabbing your ass.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And so she was kind of like, OK, like we'll just go home. She got in an Uber, went home. Epilogue is,
dude, I'm going to fuck your mom.
I do find my mom to be like, she tells me stories in
this
college.
This is a very Shane Ellis moment from the original.
Whoa. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way we can get her to come around. I have to fuck your mom.
Who, Shane or my mom?
Your mom.
To get my mom to come around.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to fuck my mom. Anyway, epilogue is my mom, like a few months later, I was talking to her about like this other play I was doing. And she was like, I really think you should stay away from like gay roles. And that's the ending. It's not a very good ending, but that's the
no.
ending.
But there's no way it could have gone well. Mm-hmm. I think
I'm gonna let Leo. What do you think about
thoughts
the whole,
on Keeley?
Yeah, thoughts.
Well, first of all, where in the Midwest are you? Is your mom? Are you from?
I'm from Iowa.
You're from Iowa. Oh, okay, I'm from Michigan, but Iowa's even more. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I will say, even with a mom who's queer, like or lesbian identified, and like knows my identity, she still doesn't want to see this.
Right.
Like she's like, right. She can validate the importance of these stories. She can be like, what you're doing is great. What the show is doing is so important. And at the end of the day, still will not want to see these scenes, right?
Yeah. Because they're sexual is what you're saying?
Because like they're our parents, right? Like there are many things happening. And I'm sorry that your mom isn't fully like there with you around your identity. I've not yet met a parent who is like into and open around identities who still wants to see their child in these situations.
Kathy Gavin is that parent. Just FYI. Kathy Gavin.
Yeah, got she it. Really just got wants it. To watch you just bone down. I think, though, if I were in a scene kissing a guy, because I have had those, like, I have been in, like, productions where I've had to be, like, with men and, like, it is, like, kind of no question after that.
Your like, mom's not like, I don't think you should be in straight roles.
Yeah,
I think you should stay away
from
straight.
I don't think it's for you. Yeah. But yeah. I do, yeah. Hey, I agree. If I had a child, I would be, like, straight up covering my eyes probably.
Sure.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway.
I thought it was a great story.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I came up with it before I knew that who we were interviewing. So there you go.
Wow.
Serendipitous.
Perfect.
A meet cute, if
oh my
you,
God.
If you will.
What are the odds?
What are the odds?
Leo, you have been on the phone with us, on Zoom with us for 9 years on the most technically difficult, crazy episode
completely.
Of We're Having Gay Sex Ever. Thank you so much. You also, like, I do want to thank you. I straight up was like, please tell us about this documentation because...
Which was a horrific process.
Yes. And it was, thank you for doing that. I know that's like emotionally laborious. So I thank you for that. I didn't give you much of a choice, but anyway, we want to do your plugs. Where can people find you?
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter. It's Leo Shang. Leo Shang, because I thought that was really cool and official sounding. Same with Instagram. I have TikTok. I don't post anything. I thought I would this season as like behind the scenes stuff, but I just never did. Those are the main areas main platforms I utilize.
And when does the next season of The L Word come out?
Season 2 comes out August 8th.
Amazing.
Wow. Actor.
An actor.
Just flawless.
Cool. Well, thank you. We will release you now from this hour and 45 minute long Zoom call.
Thank you so much.
You're awesome.
Yeah, you're amazing.
You know, thank you for having me. This has been a pleasure. This has been so much fun. I love when they're more conversational. And thank you both for sharing your stories. And it's been so much fun. Wow. I really enjoyed this.
Leo, I don't think I've ever been thanked for my story.
I don't think so either. That was really sweet.
The thing is that there was a lot of emotional labor in my story because
your story was really hard.
The coral reef is being destroyed, guys, and that is triggering for me. That is triggering.
It is triggering. I feel ya.
No, you were great. We would love to have you back.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you are absolutely a great guest. I am in love with you.
Me as well.
You're both so great. This has been absolutely amazing.
Awesome. Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
No gay thought this week. Just a note from me personally. You guys reaching out to me and saying the kind things that you have has touched my heart. God damn it. They've touched my heart, and I'm grateful for you guys. It's weird because it's what they call a parasocial relationship, but I do really feel connected to so many of you because you do reach out, and I do read the notes, and I feel like I understand what you guys, you know, enjoy and get out of the podcast and what it means to you on a number of different levels. I hope that I do. And as I make this content in the future, you know, I know you guys responded to the vulnerability. I'll always try and be open and honest with you because you guys just made me feel really good about that this week. But it'll always be funny. Funny first. You're always going to have the best Monday. Best Monday content around. That's my promise to you. And we got a lot of new donors these past 2 weeks. You guys are really saving my bum. I don't know why we talk about fingering all the time on this fucking podcast. I don't know why I censored bum there. But there are so many new donors that I'm just going to rattle off a few of them right now. Thank you. If you donate, you get all kinds of cool stuff. But you also get these shout outs. So there's 9 million of them. It's going to take a while to get through them all. But here we go. On TikTok, we have Shay.Amasia. On Instagram, we have iamp.j. On Instagram, we have meredith.cash. On Instagram, we have Aurora Sparkles with a Z. Hey, Aurora. Aurora came to a number of my shows on the West Coast. On Instagram, we have Alice Huh 1L. On TikTok, we have HazyB91. On Instagram, we have Lizzie Likes Bikes. Sorry, on Instagram, we have Lizzie.likes.bikes. On Instagram, we have Busy Bailey B. On Instagram, we have Parker Sampier. On Twitter, we have AChrome724. That's with a K. On Twitter, we have Will Gavin Harris. I wonder if we're related. On Instagram, we have Guacamoleo. On Instagram, we have Liz Khalifa with two Z's. On Twitter, we have There's Lola. On Instagram, we have La Salsa with two A's at the end. On Instagram, we have Jenny_Dahm, D-A-H-M. On Instagram, we have On Instagram, we have Belen Domenech, B-E-L-E-N-D-O-M-E-N-E-C-H. I'm so sorry. On Instagram, we have Alligator's Bite. On Instagram, we have Nikki Stavitz. On Instagram, we have Scout_Broughton. On Twitter, we have Catholic Mystic. On Twitter, we have Bethany93Duncan. On Instagram, we have Sarah A. McKinnon. On Instagram, we have GR_CEH. On Instagram, we have Sam1839. That's Sam with three M's. On Instagram, we have Wallery and Romeo. On Instagram, we have Lily Ross with two L's and an I. On Twitter, we have But You Know I Won't. On Twitter, we have Grubby Baby Hands. On TikTok, we have Lesbian Equestrian. And I think that's all we have time for now. Thank you guys so much for your donations. It makes an enormous difference. Thank you so, so much from the bottom of my heart. This has made a really big difference in my quality of life and for the future quality of the podcast. Thank you.